the pages of IHS Fan Magazine, the Austin area's premier high school football preview publication, and the creators of the Horn Webcast Network, powered by IHS Fan. Welcome to Under the Lights, presented by ARS Rescue Router. Here are your hosts, Rick Epstein and Jeff Power.
Good evening, high school football fans. Welcome to show number 15 of season number 4 for Under the Lights, presented by ARS Rescue Router. Tonight, a special Tuesday night Thanksgiving show. Hey, if you like Austin area high school football, this is your show. We are Austin's longest running show featuring area high school football. My name is Rick Epstein. I'm the publisher of IHS Fan Magazine, Austin's premier high school football preview magazine. Do me a favor, if you haven't already done so, take out your phone right now. Follow us on Twitter at IHSFAN. That's at IHSFAN. And, you know, while you have your phone out, why don't you download the Horn app? Because here's what can happen. The IHS Fan Webcast Network, we broadcast as many as 9 different high school football games each and every week, and you can simply click on the Horn app and follow all those games all for free, in addition to the radio games that the Horn provides. Hey, Jeff Power is on assignment in Colorado, knee-deep in snow, so we've got the grand poobah of the IHS Fan Webcast Network sitting in with us again tonight, Mr. Rodney Rodriguez. Rodney, how's it going?
Rico, I'm doing well, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving,
yes.
By the way, a little early. Hey, I have the Horn app downloaded. I listen to all those games.
Oh, it's fun. And
it's
you
good
can,
stuff.
The great thing is you can rewatch all those games, too. You don't just have to watch them live. Hey, the man behind the glass. We missed him last week as Brad Kellner sat in for him. We were a little worried about him, but he's back. The former McNeil Maverick, Samuel F. Pika. Sam, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, boys.
All right.
Yes, sir.
We've got only 1 hour, so we've got to get right to it. I want to recognize the ARS Rescue Router Team of the Week. And this week, we'd like to recognize the LBJ Jaguars, Coach Jamal Fenner, who was on our show last week, and his Jags totally dominated the Alice Coyotes on Saturday afternoon by the score of 72-20. Are you kidding me? With the win, the Jags head to round 3 against perennial powerhouse Corpus Christi Cal Allen, who's currently 10-2 on the season. Congratulations to the LBJ Jaguars for being recognized as our ARS Rescue Router Team of the Week. And normally we have our Coach Speak segment where I think we've talked to 32 different area head coaches, Rodney, over the course of this year. That's a lot of head coaches. We try to get to them all. But tonight we're going to, because it's around playoff time and you know, so much is happening with teams canceling and teams rescheduling, we wanted to bring over one of the great journalists in the Austin area, statesman contributor and Lake Travis expert, Mr. Jay Plotkin. Jay, welcome back to Under the Lights.
Well, thank you, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving. And, you know, you're kind of the resident Lake Travis expert. Like it or not, you are what we consider the expert. Tell us what's going on with the situation. I guess last Friday around 2 p.m., we all heard that they weren't going to play the game. And, you know, what's going on out at Lake Travis right now?
The word is, and I don't think that we've gotten anything new out of there, a member of the coaching staff tested positive, and they learned that on Friday. He had been involved, he had been on campus and had been involved with players from all three levels of football, freshman, junior varsity, and varsity. So under school district guidelines, they immediately, once they found out he was positive, and had been around the kids, they canceled the game that was scheduled against Aikens and began their protocol. And their protocol is 14 days of before they can return to action. So that once they enacted that, that took this Friday's game with Westlake off the table. And there's just not a chance for them to make that up before district certification. The 26-6A guidelines say that teams have to have 3 days of practice before they can play, if I understand that correctly. And based on all of the timing, the earliest that Lake Travis could get its players back to practice, and this is assuming that they don't find anything else out between last Friday and, well, really any point here moving forward. The earliest that they could get back to practice would be December 3rd. Now, they would have to have their game in by December 4th. That's not enough time. And, you know, they had already qualified for the playoffs. Westlake obviously always already qualified for the playoffs as well. And so they've just decided that they're not going to play the regular season game, and we'll move forward, assuming that they don't have any other issues and have to extend the shutdown, that they will they'll just move forward and hope to come back December 3rd and prep for the bye district round of the playoffs the following week.
So let's talk 26-6A. So that, but with all that you just said, Westlake will be the one seed. They will win the district title, I would have to imagine, through no fault of their own. They were going to be ready to play Lake Travis. Unfortunately, with what's going on, Lake Travis can't play Westlake. So Westlake's the one seed. Now, they're sitting in with an enrollment of 28-33. Lake Travis, regardless of what happens below them, they are going to be in Division I because their enrollment is 3401. They are the largest school in the district, so they'll be D1. But Westlake's sitting there kind of rooting for the Bowie Bulldogs right now, because below them is the only school with a higher enrollment than Westlake that has a chance at the playoffs. Actually, there are two, Del Valle and Bowie. Talk a little bit about how this all affects who goes D1 and who goes D2.
Well, I've done the hieroglyphics on this and tried to read the tea leaves and worked all the tiebreaker scenarios out as best I can. The bad news is I don't think there's a pass through for Del Valle. So even if the results were to break on Friday, where they would find themselves in a three-way tie for fourth place, they would need to win. They would need to get credit for a win of 26 points over Austin High to overtake Bowie in the tiebreaker scenario, and the district guidelines cap a margin of victory at 18 points. That's all you can count in the tiebreaker scenario. So Del Valle's role in this is only to be a spoiler.
Right.
So if I'm interpreting things correctly, and I've had a couple of different coaches tell me, yeah, they think I'm right. So bad news for Del Valle. They can't go forward, but they can play. They can still play a role.
Absolutely. You know, and I spoke to one of the coaches. I won't mention his name. I don't think he'd mind, but I won't, just for the sake of that. If there's a three-way tie between Hayes, Bowie, and Austin, right now Hayes has a +6 in points. They go to the points. Hayes, that scenario right now, is +6 in points. Austin High -4, -5. Bowie would need to beat win by 12 or more points for Austin to make the playoffs if all those teams were tied.
Right. That's what I've – yeah, so that's what I've got as well. If Bowie beats Hayes by less than 12, then Austin High – and Austin High beats Del Valle, then Austin High is out. Well, Lake Travis and Bowie become the Division I teams, and Westlake and Hayes would be the Division II teams, with Lake Travis and Westlake being the top seed in each division, and therefore they would host home game. They would host by district games against their 25-6A counterparts. If Bowie beats Hayes by at least 12, then Hayes is out, and Austin High is the second Division II team. Lake Travis and Bowie still stay Division I.
Yeah, it's interesting right now, because if it stayed the way it is with Westlake and Lake Travis in D1, and on the other side of the mat, in 25-6A, right now, if it stayed the way it was, Round Rock and Cedar Ridge would be D1. You could have a Round Rock versus Lake Travis Round 1 playoff game, which would be insane.
Yes. I mean... These first round matchups are going to be salty, and they probably are going to be aside from the playback in round four, where the districts could meet again. I would think that these are your favorites let me say it this way. Whoever comes out of 25 or 26 has a real legit shot at running the region and making it to the final four.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Jay, Rodney Rodriguez. I think one of the things that folks, we're not going to have the Battle of the Lakes, and that's a big deal. And in a 2020 that has brought just so many different things, to have that one taken away, kind of one last jab right there.
That is one last jab. Now, you know, we do have the opportunity to get it.
That's right.
If Hayes wins, if Hayes beats Bowie, then we get it. Mm-hmm. We have the potential to get it.
Yeah, in the fourth round.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, all due respect to the 25 6A teams, if Lake Travis and Westlake are both in Division One, you know, that's the number three ranked team in the state and the number five ranked team in the state, they would be the odds makers' favorite to make it to the regional final.
And so before we let you go, let's talk about one of the teams that we've really been following a lot this year is the Austin High Maroons. They have a game on Friday that will be Rodney and I will have that play call on the IHS Fan Webcast Network. And we're looking forward to that out there at House Park, 2:00 on Friday.
Yeah. Covering the game for the Statesman.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. We'll see you out there. But they play a Del Valle team who, as you mentioned, is playing the role as a spoiler. But, Austin High is looking, they would be Division II, and right now they could have a possible matchup against Vista Ridge. Could be a matchup very easily. Mm-hmm. And, boy, two great quarterbacks going toe-to-toe with Kyle Brown and Charles Wright. How about that?
You know, there are a lot of tremendous quarterbacks in the area. And, Kyle Brown, it was All-State, one of the 6A All-State quarterbacks last year. He is a legit player. And Charles Wright is no slouch himself, a three-year starter. He's got he's committed to Texas. And last time I checked, they don't throw offers out willy-nilly. So anybody who's had a chance to watch Charles play, he is super accurate. He is more mobile than people think. And he can put it wherever it needs to go. If they can give him time, if Austin High can give him time against Del Valle, then I like their chances. The other big thing that everybody will be watching in that Austin High-Del Valle game is whether Tavi Dunlop can play for Del Valle. I think he's only played in one of their last four games, and that was a two-series cameo against Lake Travis. He really makes that offense go, and whether he plays or not, that's a huge key to who wins Friday afternoon at House Park.
Jay Plotkin, one of the Statesman contributors, and what he does is great work each and every time. We'll see you out there, I guess, on Saturday at House Park. And Jay, thanks for being on Under the Lights.
Thanks for having me, guys. Enjoy the work and appreciate everything that you guys do on the broadcast side. Looking forward to Friday afternoon and seeing how this all shakes out.
All right. Have a great Thanksgiving, Jay.
Thanks, Jay.
You too, guys. Thank you.
All right. Hey, before we get to our next guest, I want to tell you about Dave Campbell's Texas Football. Earlier this week, I logged on to my Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscription to get some great info. I spend, 30 minutes to an hour each week going through the great info about all the area districts and teams. The combo subscription is really amazing for the football fan in your life. For just $29.95 plus shipping and handling, you can purchase an annual subscription and get both their print magazines each year and access to hundreds of premium articles and archives on their website, www.texasfootball.com. As a subscriber, you'll be mailed both of their magazines directly to your house before they hit the newsstands each year. The website is filled with insider commentary, predictions, archive magazines, and other great exclusive content. What a value and what a great stocking stuffer. Now's your time. Go to texasfootball.com, and at the top left of the homepage, click on the Subscribe Now button and get this for the football fan in your life.
It's time for Ask the Doc, presented by Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas. Each week, we will visit with a doc to discuss a sports-related medical topic. Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas provides comprehensive orthopedics, including sports medicine, joint replacement, spine surgery, hand specialists, foot and ankle, and physical medicine and rehab. In addition, they offer same-day appointments and on-site imaging and physical therapy. Visit them at oactdocs.com. That's oactdocs.com.
We are so excited. Each week we have partnered with Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas for the fantastic segment we call Ask a Doc. This week's topic We're going to talk about ACL injuries, and we want to welcome back Dr. Crawford back, who's been a tremendous guest over the course of the season. And welcome back, Dr. Crawford.
Great to be back. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, first, before I say anything else, I want to say happy Thanksgiving to you, Doc.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It'd be nice to have a good, well, a little different than the traditional Thanksgiving, but nice to have some close family here and enjoy a good meal.
I always say Thanksgiving's my all-time favorite holiday because you got food, football, and you don't have to buy any gifts. You know, I love it. But, hey, let's talk a little bit about ACL. You know, we always hear ACL injuries around. Tell us, what exactly is an ACL?
I think stepping back a little bit, the knee joint has four ligaments. There's two collateral ligaments. So there's one on the inside of the knee called the medial collateral, the MCL. There's one on the outside, the lateral collateral. And then there's two cruciate ligaments, one in the back, posterior cruciate, that's PCL. And then the ACL is the one in the front, the anterior cruciate ligament. So the role of those four ligaments, the ACL probably gets the most press because it's commonly injured in athletes. And the role of the ACL really is to provide stability for the knee, especially with pivoting and rotational type sports, i.e. football.
So what happens usually when it's injured?
The two main ways that we think about the ACL getting injured are really contact injuries and non-contact injuries. Of course, with contact injuries, somewhat out of a player's control. You're getting hit or someone's rolling over on your leg. That's a way that the ACL can be injured. Frankly, any of the ligaments in the knee can be injured. But with respect to non-contact injuries, it's usually a twisting or pivoting type injury where you're landing and the knee goes into a little bit of hyperextension and rotation. Patients often feel a pop, that something doesn't feel right in the knee, and the knee starts to swell, and there's some tenderness associated. In terms of the diagnosis, it's typically diagnosed with a clinical exam, meaning feeling the stability of the ACL as well as the other ligaments, and then we'll use a special imaging test in MRI, which shows us the fibers of the ACL and the other ligaments in the knee, and also can help. You know, there's other associated injuries which can happen when you tear an ACL, like injuring the cartilage or the meniscus or even other ligaments, and the MRI helps to diagnose those.
And you know, so the treatment and rehab time frame, what does that usually consist of?
Yeah, so treatment for a full thickness ACL tear. There are some instances, it's a little bit more rare, of a partial thickness. There's occasionally some non-operative treatment if it is just a partial thickness tear, but most of what we see are full thickness ACL tears, and that's typically an ACL reconstruction. And what that means is essentially replacing your native ACL ligament with a graft, which is typically, especially for young athletes, typically their own tissue. So we'll take a piece of patella tendon or a piece of quadricep tendon or a piece of hamstring tendon and reconstruct the ACL with that, meaning drilling holes in the femur, the thigh bone, and the tibia, the shin bone, and passing the graft through to help reconstruct that ACL. With respect to the rehab time frame, we used to think it was 6 months and just, okay, once a player was gone through 6 months of rehab and recovery and healing, that they would be ready to play. And I think over the last few years, we've focused a lot more on returning to sports after injuries like these and realized that there's a lot more to it than just a time frame. It has to do with the muscle strength and being able to do functional testing and different plyometric exercises. So a lot of studies that we're seeing now are that it looks more like 9 months is a more optimal time frame. So a little bit longer than that 6 month initial thought. But at 9 months, there's a decreased risk of re-tearing that ACL or re-injuring the knee.
Well, Dr. Crawford, it is one of those injuries we always hear about. You've explained it quite well tonight. We really appreciate it, and thank you and all your colleagues for all that you've done this year through 15 shows. We've got three more left, so maybe we'll have you on one of these final shows. And thanks so much, and have a great Thanksgiving.
All right. Thanks, guys, for having me, and happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
All right. It was Dr. Crawford from Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas, and they do great work. And, you know, you always hear ACL, and for both for young boys and girls. Girls, you see it a lot. You know, I remember a couple years ago, I just knew three or four families directly that had girls who were volleyball players that just had ACL injuries, and it was just one after another after another. It's crazy.
And just think about that, Rick. When you talk about ACLs, usually when that injury happens, it's referred to that it snaps, and that just tells you the viciousness of it. I mean, that tendon back there, it just breaks, and that... Man, and the miracle of modern medicine. I mean, everything that he just explained right there, how they're able to transplant a piece back in there and get that back. I mean, absolutely. It's amazing. It's amazing.
So we've got a lot to go tonight. You know, we're going to talk to a great running back here in our next segment, Izzy Morgan. And also in that segment, we're going to talk Izzy Morgan of Round Rock High School fame. He had one heck of a game and a huge win.
He did a lot.
Broke a 17 district game winning streak from the Vandegrift Vipers as Round Rock beat Vandegrift in overtime at Dragon Stadium on Friday night, and we'll get his thoughts on it. We'll also talk with the head man in charge in Pflugerville ISD, our good friend Todd Raymond, and we're going to uncover, and you know, he's got four schools, but two different districts they play in. 11-5A, we're going to talk a lot about 11-5A D1 and the playoffs and what needs to happen for Pflugerville, Hendrickson, and Weiss and their chances in the playoffs. And then his other district, Connolly. Connolly won't be making the playoffs this year, but we'll talk a little bit about that district as well. But a lot going on as we head down. You know, not too many teams are playing this week. But a lot of games over the next 10 days, with some on Monday, some on Saturday, some on Friday. It's crazy, Rodney.
Yeah, that's the thing. That actually has been one of the neater parts. I mean, I think for some of the coaches and the players and the families and everything, it's not so neat, but it's kind of neat to be. I've never broadcasted a high school football game at Wednesday at 2 o'clock like we'll do tomorrow.
We're going to be out there. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be good.
2 o'clock, and then we're going to be right back at it on Friday at 2 o'clock. We're going to head to House Park, even though the Longhorns are going to be playing, you know, a couple miles from there at 11. We've got a big one for Austin High as they are going to battle Del Valle, and everything's going to be on the line for Austin High and Charles Wright, a multi-year starter for the Maroons.
That's a couple of big ones that we'll have on the network during the week. I mean, because the Orange Wednesday, like I called it on Twitter, there's a lot on the line there with Hutto and Westwood. They're sitting in a spot where they could make a move. It's going to take some help. But, yeah, that Austin High game. And I like the way Friday shakes out because we'll have our 2 o'clock game, and then you've got Bowie and Hayes at 7.
Right.
So we'll know a lot by 10:30.
Hey, when we'll come back, we'll talk with that great one, Mr. Izzy Morgan. You're listening to The Horn Under the Lights. Welcome back to Under the Lights, special Thanksgiving edition. Tuesday night, Rick Epstein along with Rodney Rodriguez and the great one, Samuel F. Pica, behind the glass. And we're going to move right along, actually. We want to thank Dr. Crawford from Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas and Jay Plotkin, statesman contributor, who for giving us the lowdown on all things Lake Travis and 26-6A. And we're going to move it right along. And we've talked to this young man a few weeks ago, and I just had to get him back on the phone because of what happened on Friday night. Welcome back to Under the Lights, Izzy Morgan from the Round Rock Dragons. Izzy, welcome back.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you for having me again.
Hey, Izzy, let's talk about it. A huge overtime win Friday night against Vandegrift, snapping the Vipers' 17-game district winning streak. What were your thoughts about that big win?
It was a huge, huge team win for us. Really, it feels like it's setting us up and everything's coming together for us. You know, we're just really rolling now. Our defense is really stepping up and making big plays throughout the game. You know, offense is starting to execute. Everything's coming together.
Yeah, absolutely. Izzy, let's talk about you on the year. 1,428 yards, 19 touchdowns. And, I mean, you're the star. But a lot of times, I mean, talk about those guys, those big hosses up on the front line that open up those holes for you, man.
Oh, my goodness. The best I've been with throughout Round Rock, I'm pretty sure. But they work like no other. Best got the trust from like no other, you know. They got my back. I got their back.
Hey, you know, before we let you go, you know, on Friday night, I couldn't believe the stats when I saw it. 40 carries for 237 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, what were your thoughts when you were getting the ball so many times, Izzy? Were you getting tired, or were you just excited about it?
Well, I didn't even know I had 40 in the first place. I was very excited to play this game. I was really looking forward to beating these guys, and I was really excited, but I wasn't even thinking about the carries. You know, I was trying to score every time I had the ball, you know, but I didn't even know I had 40 carries.
Yeah. Well, you know, Craig Way had texted me on Friday. I was out at Kelly Reeves, and he said, "Hey, do you think your broadcast crew, you know, because we do all the Round Rock Dragon games with David Carter and Kevin Martin," said, "do you think you could provide me with the numbers because they wanted to give you some sort of Ford player of the game on Fox Sports Southwest?" So I quickly got the numbers, and 40 carries, 237 yards. Izzy, we wish you luck the rest of the way. I guess you have a big one, a rivalry game. You know, your win against Vandergrift really doesn't mean too much if you don't take care of business against Westwood, because right now, if you beat Westwood, you're the district champs. If you don't beat Westwood, Vandergrift is once again the district champs. So you got to beat Westwood.
Yes, sir. Never taking any team for granted. So just good preparation for the week and this upcoming game, and I'll be ready for them.
Well, you don't eat too much turkey, and have a good Thanksgiving, Izzy, and we'll see you out there.
Yes, sir, you too.
And we really are having fun watching you play this year. It's been a pleasure.
I sure appreciate you guys.
All right, Izzy. That was Izzy Morgan. Hey, you know, before the Dragons, you know, as I mentioned, they got to beat a little game known as the Battle for the Bell. You know, the longest running rivalry in Round Rock ISD, Round Rock versus Westwood. You know a lot about that rivalry.
That's always a game where we say it all the time, where records, none of that matters. I mean, there's always playoff implications for one of these teams, sometimes both of these teams, but you throw all of that out the window because it is. You got the benchmark schools, and then Rick, you've got the burnt orange and the maroon. So well, you know, you have that rivalry.
It's no secret, Round Rock ISD, their first team was maroon for Texas Aggies. Their second high school, they made burnt orange.
That's it.
And hey, we're going to go right to our next guest. We want to thank Izzy for hopping on with us under the lights, and we want to thank go to our next guest, the athletic director for Pflugerville ISD, my good friend Todd Raymond. Coach, welcome back to Under the Lights.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
And I know, I think you're at a volleyball game, so I know we won't keep you too long, but it's been a crazy year, one in which everyone has had to really be able to adapt and improvise. But through the craziness, you've had some great things happening with some of the Pflugerville ISD teams. Three of your four schools are playing 11-5A-D1, and Conley plays in 13-5A-D2. Let's first talk about 11-5A-D1. It looks like Cedar Park and Georgetown have clinched their spots in the playoff, and then there are four teams fighting for the final two spots. Three of those four are from Pflugerville ISD. You know, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, think we lost him.
We'll try to get Coach Raymond, but yeah, Rodney, looks like three of the four teams fighting for those remaining spots in 11-5A-D1 are from Pflugerville ISD, and we're going to get Coach Todd Raymond back on, the Pflugerville ISD athletic director. Pflugerville, Hendrickson, and Weiss all with big games. I guess Pflugerville sits at 3-2 in district with games against Leander and Pflugerville, and then Pflugerville sits at 3-2 with games against Cedar Park and Hendrickson. And I guess we have Coach Raymond. Todd, are you back on the line?
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry about that. I'm driving 79 right now between Herb and Rockdale, and my cell phone signal's a little sketchy coming back from some volleyball games.
Okay.
So I apologize.
No, no worries. We were just in the middle of talking about 11-5A D1 and Pflugerville ISD's three schools in that district, all with still a chance, an outside chance, some with a really good chance for making the playoffs. Can you share some thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's really, you know, I'm the chair for that district executive committee, and it's been, this fall has been a challenge. I think we're on the third version of our schedule right now, officially run at the time. You know, like, if anything happens from here on out, you know, we've got one playing three.
We got a bad connection. I guess maybe we'll try to call you back maybe a little bit later, or maybe we'll get you on another time. But we got a little bit bad connection, Coach. Sorry about that. Yeah, Coach Todd Raymond.
That's a tough stretch of highway out there.
Yeah, it is.
It's a very tough stretch of highway.
It's tough, and sometimes the cell phone doesn't work. But,
yep.
You know, let's talk a little bit about, you know, Cedar Park and Georgetown. They have clinched their spots. Cedar Park, they have Pflugerville and Weiss remaining, and Georgetown has Weiss to play. Pflugerville sitting at 3-2. They have a tough one against Cedar Park. Coach Charles Taylor, really a great story out there at Pflugerville with what he's done and really turned around that program. And then Hendrickson sitting at 3-2. If the playoffs started today, Pflugerville and Hendrickson would both make the playoffs. Hendrickson has won against Leander, and they finish with Pflugerville. And then Weiss still with an outside chance, although they're playing the two best teams in the district. They finish with Cedar Park and Georgetown. And we'll talk with E.J. Sanchez, the play-by-play guy with Weiss later on in the show about that. And then Leander finishes with Hendrickson. Both Maynard and Anderson, they're not going to qualify for the playoffs. So very interesting district there.
Yeah, and we talking to Todd there, I think one of the things that we really hammer home is just the resurgence of Pflugerville ISD with football programs just across the board right there. Because all of those schools that you name off, I mean, other than Conley's the only one that's on the outside looking in, you know, for sure at this point. There's a lot of things that have to happen. But then again, you mentioned Coach Taylor at Pflugerville, and this is not the first time we've seen him do this. It's you're not going to say he's a miracle worker, but we've talked to him so many times. But just his manner that he approaches his job with, and the task at hand, and it is so exciting to see him do this at Pflugerville.
Oh yeah, no, he had that great run a few years back. We always refer to it as the Magical Mystery Tour. McCallum, when they went five rounds deep into the playoffs with the little team that could.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had maybe 33 kids dress out on varsity, and they bowed out in the fifth round, one game from Jerry World against the Cal Allen team, and I believe that was who they got beat with that year. But yeah,
yeah.
Coach, and then, you know, Coach Chip Killian out there at Hendrickson, you know. They're sitting at 3-2 in district. They got Leander and Pflugerville. We thought when they got moved from 6A to 5A, we thought this is where they were going to just explode. You know, of course they're in a district with Cedar Park and Georgetown, two great teams, but Hendrickson's got a lot of talent. They always do, and I wouldn't be surprised if they go deep in the playoffs. Now, 11-5A D1, they play the 12-5A D1, and that's the Dripping Springs of the world, Canyon, Seguin, and Johnson. Those four teams would qualify for the playoffs right now if the season ended today. Dripping Springs finishes with Johnson, the new school out at Hayes, and Seguin. Dripping is undefeated in district at 5-0. Canyon out of New Braunfels, they are 4-1 in that district. They finish with Harlandale, a San Antonio team, and Johnson. Seguin is 4-1. They finish with Layman and Dripping, and Johnson finishes with Dripping and Canyon. So those are the teams that the Cedar Parks Georgetown, Pflugerville, and Hendrickson, possibly Weiss. You know, Coach Steve Van Meter, they've had some challenges with playing games. You know, they're going to be playing a Monday game coming up and a Saturday game. So interesting dates for them.
That's exactly right. And you know, Coach Van there at Weiss, this is very much such a great situation. You know, when Coach Van Meter got the job there at Weiss, Rick, you were one of the first ones that knew this knowledge at that point. But this is such a nice scenario for him, where it sets up where he comes in to a new school that has already seen some success. And he's coming in, and he's going to build this thing, not completely from the ground up, but he's going to be the architect here that, that is going to cement the next several years for Weiss. And it, it only even expresses more how well Pflugerville is doing. Pflugerville there, it's pretty impressive because you got all the Pflugerville ISD, then you get into the Round Rock and Leander ISD there. There's a lot of good football teams in there.
Absolutely, a lot of great talent. You know, and Weiss, you know, Coach Tommy Altman, who was our IHS Fan Coach of the Year last year, just within 48 hours of us awarding him the Coach of the Year plaque, we found out he was not going to be the coach at you know, at Weiss. And when Coach Todd Raymond, the athletic director, I kept calling him week after week. Every week I'd call him, have you hired somebody? Have you hired somebody? Finally, he said, yeah, we hired a guy named Coach Steve Van Meter. Said, oh, wow, what a home run that was. Because, you know, we all know Coach Van. He had the tremendous success out at Hutto, went to retire, found out he didn't like he missed the Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
And he came out of retirement, and boy, what a tremendous hire it was for Weiss. And he came in, you know, what, he came in, and then COVID hit, so he barely got to know his team, and this must be so hard for a new coach and new coaches to implement their stuff and all that.
Yeah, it, and so much of that, I mean, it comes back to, you know, we were trying to talk to Coach Raymond there, but Coach Raymond is the AD there, and what a great hire for Pflugerville when they got Coach Raymond. I mean, that's a young guy. It's a young guy that comes in. He's got great ideas, and he's putting them in place, and Pflugerville is reaping success.
When we come back, we're going to talk to a whole host of different people in rapid fire. We're going to talk with a lot of our IHS Fan Webcast Network personalities. You're listening to The Horn under the lights. Welcome back to Under the Lights. Rick Epstein along with Rodney Rodriguez and the great Samuel F. Pica. And we're going to go rapid fire here. We've got our man on the line, the voice of the Weiss Wolves, Mr. EJ Sanchez. EJ, tell us about Weiss and what they need to do to make the playoffs.
How you doing, Rick? Yeah, Weiss, they do have an outside chance right now. They're currently sitting at 2-2 in the district. The ruling on the Anderson game is going to be important, but right now they have a slated game against Cedar Park next week and Georgetown that following Saturday. So the game against Cedar Park we know is going to be tough, but the situation you're probably looking at is if they can get a win against Georgetown, Pflugerville loses to Hendrickson that last week, that clears the shot for Weiss to get into the playoffs.
Well, you know, they have two tough games. Don't they play Cedar Park and Georgetown to finish the season?
Absolutely, yeah. They have them on the Monday and a Saturday, so only a five-day rest in between. So definitely going to be tough, no doubt about it.
Absolutely. So before we let you go, tell us what some of the great things, the highlights this year that you've seen out there calling Weiss Wolves football.
Absolutely. This has been the young team of the Weiss Wolves, a young offense headed by Dior Bradfield, two classic games, one against Brian Rutter where they fell 63-56. And obviously the thrill in the Ville, the 49-48 game against Hendrickson. Those games are symbolic, really, of what Coach Van Meter and the rest of this program is going to start building on these next couple of years.
Well, EJ, you and Efren do fine work out there, and we're looking forward to following the action. You've got two more regular season games, and let's see if we can make some Weiss magic and get them in the playoffs. Thanks so much, EJ.
Appreciate it, Rick.
All right. That was EJ Sanchez, the play-by-play man for IHS Fan Webcast Network for Weiss. And we're going to head out to Dragon Nation right now to talk with the play-by-play guy for the Round Rock Dragons for IHS Fan, Mr. David Carter. David, you had an incredible one. We had Izzy Morgan on just a few minutes ago. Tell us about the excitement of Friday night and the overtime win over Vandegrift.
I tell you what, it was an atmosphere unrivaled, especially in the current circumstances and not having a packed stadium. Israel Morgan is just a monster. I mean, the guy's got 1,400 yards already rushing this season. That's number 2 in 6A across the state. The absolutely fantastic environment and breaking that 21-game streak that Vandegrift had in district play. It's been a special season. And, you know, next week they have an opportunity. If they beat Westwood, they'll be able to share the district title for the first time in 5 years.
Well, I told Izzy, I said, you know, it's all for naught if you don't win the Battle of the Bell against Westwood. Because if they lose, Vandergrift does claim their third straight district championship.
Absolutely. And so it's an important game, and I think Coach Cheatham will have them ready for it. You know, the offensive and defensive lines have just been absolutely outstanding on this five-game streak for the Dragons, and they're ready for the playoffs, and it looks like it's going to be either Bowie or Lake Travis. So it's going to be a tall order as long as they beat those Warriors in the next week.
Hey, David, it's Rodney. So how cool has it been for you this year? Because you were part of the broadcast team last year with IHS Fan, and several near misses there for Round Rock. To see them rebound and do what they're doing just has to be tremendous for you.
The emotion has been incredible. And I tell you, against Vista Ridge and against Vandergrift, two special programs, special seeing the coaches and the players after that game last week, like nothing else I've seen at Dragon Stadium in 10 years of going to games.
Well, David, you do fine work. You're doing great work as play-by-play, and we'll be listening when they play, when they go for the Battle of the Bell. Thanks, David. It was David Carter from the voice of the Dragons, and now we're going to head out to the voice of the Glen Grizzlies, Mr. Alan Cepeda. Alan, tell us what's going on in Grizzly Nation.
Hey, we're just resting up, getting ready for the playoffs. You know, they did a great job at 13-5A D2. None of the teams had any COVID shortages throughout the entire season. So they reserved these 2 weeks for any makeup games. Now the Grizzlies can get healthy and prepare for what most likely is going to be a first-round matchup against Liberty Hill.
Yeah, and Liberty Hill, they are a pretty darn good team, undefeated in that district. But it's hard to tell in that district, 14-5A D2, because the competition is probably not nearly as stiff as it is in 13-5A D2. Talk about some of the highlights you've seen this year from the Grizzlies. I know Jaden Simpson has been incredible.
Yeah, Jaden Simpson, 18.6 yards per catch. He's got 6 touchdowns. He's got 8 catches of 30 yards or more, and it's not a lot of yak. He usually just burns his defender and catches the open ball. Tony Holland, 791 yards and 8 touchdowns, 63% completion percentage in his last 3 games. And Dom Sullivan, 14 touches. He's averaging 26.5 yards per touch.
Wow.
4 touchdowns since he's joined the offense 3 games ago. So it's going to be a shootout against Liberty Hill, a team that they know well. Their first ever varsity official game was against Liberty Hill back in 2018. Dropped that one 49-21, but they know this team well, and they'll be prepared.
Well, I know Coach Rob Schoenfeld will have his men prepared, and I know you and the young Zach Epstein are prepared each and every time that you get on the air, and we thank you and Zach for all you do for the IHS Fan Webcast Network.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. And, hey, just as a reminder, the only Central Texas team to make it to the playoffs their first 3 seasons. So 3 in a row, it's an expectation. So we're really excited up in Leander.
Nice. That's Alan Cepeda, the voice of the Glen Grizzlies. He takes pride in everything he does out there. We really appreciate it. Alan, now we're going to go out to Cedar Ridge Raider land and talk with the voice of the Raiders, Wags, Adam Wagner. Wags, what's going on?
Raider Nation, let me hear you, baby.
Hey,
we are on our own path. We are in the driver's seat, Ricky. We're getting ready to go to the playoffs, baby. We just got to secure one more.
You are. You're 3-2. You're in the driver's seat. You face Hutto and Stony Point on some odd days. You play Hutto on a Monday and Stony Point on a Saturday. Talk a little bit about the craziness of that schedule.
Well, yeah, a 5-day turnaround for Hutto, too, on the other side of it. So that's a little wild, too. I think you got to really go in favor of the Raider Nation, right? I mean, it really is. This defense is starting to galvanize already. They've held, 3 all-state quarterbacks. Got away from R.J. Martinez through 275, but my goodness, I mean, Ryder Hernandez was held in check. Kyle Brown was held in check. And this is a division of really tough, solid quarterback play, District 25-6A. Rick, I think we're in the driver's seat. I think the Hippos are going down, and Stony Point's just to follow.
Yeah, I really like the play of Morello, and of course the defense is really incredible with the great linebacker play that you have there. Talk a little bit about that Raider defense.
Well, it's led by Brett Hartgrove, who's really the heart and soul of this purple and black Raider Nation, and not to mention this defensive secondary. Rick, what's remarkable is just out of 7 games, this defensive secondary only has 7 games as a unit. None of them are returning starters. And I just mentioned their, you know, the feats that they had already gone through facing all-state quarterbacks, 3 all-state quarterbacks. And then this defensive line, Navari there, he gets after, 5 sacks on the season. And then LeBron Horn and then LeBrennan Shepard, all these guys. And then not to mention Gamble. I mean, it's almost like they got a NASCAR package in anything that Sam Robinson throws out there. What's really wild about them is that they disguise their defense so good. It looks like a 4-3, but they can really beat you with a 4-2-5 because no personnel has to come off the field.
Hey, Wags, it's Rodney. Let's talk about this team. I mean, you and I have discussed Cedar Ridge. I mean, we did some games together. The expectations at the beginning of the year, so many graduated. You didn't know what you were going to get. Man, talk about overachieving and surprising. These Raiders have done a really good job.
Well, I mean, that's just it, Rodney. Maybe it was surprising to some of the local pundits here, but to guys like you and I who really got to dissect this team, we knew right from jump when they played the Timberwolves in the opening week. This team's got something, man. And then they got tested again by Round Rock and beat them. I mean, and actually, that's Round Rock's only loss. This is a tough Raider team, and anybody that puts their guard down to get them against them, especially the Sandman. Don't sleep on the Sandman, Joaquin Sandoval.
Sandman. Well,
I'm telling you, dude, this guy gets it done, bro. 13 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. That's highly efficient quarterback play.
Wags, thanks so much, and we'll look forward to hearing your call in their remaining games out there at Cedar Ridge, Hutto versus Stony Point. Hey, listen, folks, another one is in the books.
Thank you so much for what you do for Texas high school football. You're the greatest.
Oh, thanks, man. Hey, another one is in the books. We only got 1 hour, and Rodney, it went quick.
It really did. It really did. So, and there's a lot on the line. The next few days are going to be massive. Massive, I'm telling you.
Let's hope everyone stays safe and we can get all these games in. Hey, listen, folks, enjoy your turkey on Thursday.
Gumble, gumble.
Watch some football, and we really appreciate you listening here, and we'll see you next week under the lights.